Well, a joy it is to be together this day to once again worship a living, risen Savior. Hallelujah. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're coming down to the end of the ninth chapter. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians 9? I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. The topic of the chapter has to do with our freedom in Christ. Our liberty in Christ. And we started, or the subject we picked up in chapter 8 about this issue of eating meat that's been offered to idols. And the summation of the teaching of the Holy Spirit through Paul is that it does matter to many a Christian. But what really the significant thing is not what set of Christians does it matter that you can't eat it, or others who say, well, you can eat it. He said, everybody doesn't see everything exactly the same. And what the determining factor needs to be remembered is, what would your doing a given thing, such as the eighth chapter, eating meat, what might that do to your brothers and sisters? He said, as a matter of fact, you're no better off if you do eat meat. You're no worse off if you don't eat meat. He says, really, God doesn't care. But he said, you need to care because we are, in other words, our brother's keeper. And we cannot, just because we have the freedom to do something, we may not be supposed to do that. And we need to consider some things. So having come through the issue of denying self, because that's what it really comes down to. Let's just suppose we're dealing with the meat issue. I have the freedom to eat meat, and it will not offend God if I eat meat offered to idols. He takes the earlier part of the ninth chapter and said, but here's what you need to remember. You might need to limit your freedom, and he gives four things for the gospel's sake. And you might need to limit your freedom for the ministry's sake. And you might need to limit your freedom for the lost sinner's sake. And you might need to limit your freedom for your own reward's sake. And he comes down now to the latter part of this chapter, and he speaks about what I call, if it's an issue of me denying myself, even though I have the freedom to do it, and it wouldn't be bad if I did, he comes down to the issue of self-denial, because that's what it's about. If I have the freedom to eat meat and you don't like it, it very well could be, and more than likely is, that God said, Wayne, if you're going to hurt your brothers and sisters by doing it, you got to deny yourself. And he said, you folks don't understand, even when I came to you, I had every right before God to take money from you. But I didn't take any money from you because I didn't want to be accountable to any of you. I didn't want you to think for a moment that I was serving you for your money. And he said, I didn't do it with you. Now, he did do it with other people, but he didn't do it with them. You see, this is the church at Corinth is a very carnal church. And it's the kind of church that if you can have a problem, you're going to have it there. And if it can be a problem, whatever it is, it's probably going to be one at a church like Corinth. And everything you can imagine of every kind of ungodly, selfish nature, you'd find present at the church at Corinth. So he comes to the conclusion in this chapter to say, let me talk to you now, if you need to deny yourself, about the discipline that it requires in your life to deny yourself. Look with me at verse 24. Are you at 1 Corinthians 9:24? If you are, say amen. Amen. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, meaning everybody in the race is running, but one receives the prize. Do you not know that? So run that you may obtain. Obtain what? Verse 25. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, why is he trying to be temperate here? Why is he having to? If a man's striving in the game, why does he have self-control? The latter part of verse 25. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Bible history tells us that that was probably a pine, a garland made of pine wreath that went around the neck. He said, now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but now, in what I'm talking to you about your liberty in Christ Jesus, I'm not talking about a pine wreath. I'm talking about an incorruptible crown. Verse 26. I therefore so run. So he's equating the Christian experience to an athletic event, a race. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air, not like somebody who's shadowboxing, but I keep under my body, I keep my passions under control and bring it, the influence of my body, into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway, meaning disqualified. And that was a perfect thing to say, given he's talking about an athletic event. You've been to athletic events, and you know what it means to be disqualified. You've seen a man stand at home plate and knock a ball a country mile, but they said, and when the ump did that, what did he mean? It's on the wrong side of the foul pole in the outfield. He could have hit it 10 miles if he's strong enough, and it's not going to be a home run. It's disqualified. You've seen others in baseball who were called out, and you thought they were very much rounding the bases, but the ump said he missed first base. You've seen all manner of things. You've seen a guy run for the touchdown, and your hair was standing up, and you were screaming. And that guy with that flag in his pocket had thrown a flag, and he announced his foot went out of bounds. He's disqualified. Paul said, if you don't learn the discipline of self-denial, you might do a lot of work, go to a great expense, expend a lot of energies, and then what you do won't be profitable, and you need to hear about the discipline of self-denial. And that's what he speaks of. So now let's look at the verses and talk about it. First of all, in verse 24, he's using this athletic event, and he says, now everybody that's running in the race is running to win, but there's only going to be one win the prize. They had not yet tuned in to the modern-day sickness we have that everybody's got to get a trophy. One school announced on the news said, everybody, we're going to make everybody in the class a valedictorian. I don't even want to comment on that. Verse 25, everybody who runs to win is temperate, means he exercises self-restraint. He's disciplined and he refuses anything that he thinks could cause him to hinder. Verse 25 says, we don't run the race we're running as believers for a perishable crown, but we're running for something far greater than that. Verse 26, he said, I'm not doing this with any uncertainty, but I'm doing this with intense focus. I'm doing this with purpose. I have my eyes on the ultimate prize. In verse 27, let me give him a game plan. That's what he says. So let's look at it. But I keep under. If you're taking notes, write this down. We must persevere. The phrase there, but I keep under, the emphasis means, or the emphasis of that phrase are the two words, keep under. It's a phrase that means discipline. He's saying that life is like a battle. My body, he said, I keep discipline in my body. It's an ongoing battle because struggle is a part of living. Nobody achieves the prize without struggle. Every young man and probably a woman in this day, when I was a young boy growing up and my brother was taking his basic training at Fort Benning, there wasn't a lot of women at that time from our community in the military. In fact, I don't guess I knew of a one from my community. So you generally thought of military then as mostly men, but certainly women have served as faithfully as any men have served through the years in various branches of the military, and we appreciate them as we do anybody else who's ever worn the uniform. But in the case of my growing up, it was my brother. And my brother thought that he had certainly been made to work at home, and he had been made to work, and we thought we had tough mom and dad, but only till he got to basic training did he realize it wasn't quite like mama. I read a note one time that someone had printed where the boy wrote home his second week in basic training and said, "Dear Mom, you tried 18 years to get me to clean up my room, shine my shoes, and put up my clothes. I've learned it in 2 days." You see, it requires the struggle of being disciplined. You can't just throw your clothes down where you pull them off. You can't just, you may want a Sunday right before the race. Who wouldn't want a Dairy Queen ice cream? But you're not going to fill yourself up on something that's going to cause you to lose the prize. We must persevere knowing that we have been called to the battle. We had been called to a Bahama cruise. It's a battle. When you get a little tired, say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm coming before you because I'm weary, and I know that you can put wind back in my sails. You can put strength back in my body. You can put will and verve back in my inner man. You are the one that can change me from the inside." So we must persevere. Zig Ziglar said that winners never quit, and quitters never win. That was Zig's way of saying, you got to persevere. You just got to keep on keeping on. I thought it was real funny as both Sam Cathy and Bill Sturm came to some of their closing months, and they were unable to do anything for themselves. Both of them, like they were reading from a script, said, "Wayne, I'm going to tell you something for the record. I hope you know I'm not just quitting." Well, I thought that's hilariously funny. I said, "Well, to both of them, if they just look, they know you're not quitting." "Well, I ain't never appreciated a quitter, and I don't want to be considered a quitter. The only reason I'm not doing more is my body won't let me." Folks, you don't want to be a quitter. If it's worth doing, it's worth staying faithful. And if there's anything worth staying faithful for, it's Jesus, because we're serving him. So persevere. Number two. He not only said, "but I keep under," he said, look at me, "but I." That's the emphasis of the phrase this time, "but I." That means we must take personal responsibility. Not only is it important to persevere, we must take personal responsibility. There is no autopilot on the Christian experience. You can't push the button and say, "I will leave that to my wife or somebody else." But it is our responsibility for ourselves to choose right over wrong, virtue over vice, spirit over flesh, and nobody makes that decision but you. Sometimes it's stated, now moms, I love you, but sometimes a mother with a 225-pound son will say that they took my boy off and got him drunk, or took him off and did, poor little old bitty thing, doesn't weigh but 225 pounds. What is she really trying to do? You know what she's trying to do? Well, like most moms, make an excuse for him. Now, folks, somewhere or another at 18-plus years of age and 225 pounds, you have to make your own decisions. You have to be sure that you know the responsibility of life is yours. And nobody makes those life-changing decisions for you. You do it, and you can't blame your ugliness and your half-heartedness on somebody else. How many times have I had a man say, "Well, you know, I'd get up on Sunday morning and go to church. My wife would go with me." And sometimes the wife says, "Well, you know, I'd come to church. My husband just won't come." Now, I don't want this to be tacky. Please hear my heart. When it comes to heaven and hell, do you see that? I'd sure love to go to heaven, but my husband's intent on going to hell, and I'm just going to go to hell with him. No, you're not going to do that. You know what that is? That's a two-bit excuse that means you're in as bad a shape as he or she is in. You've got to take personal responsibility. You're a grown person who understands that all of us will stand before God. So we must persevere, and we must take personal responsibility. But notice, "but I keep under my body and quote, bring it into subjection. What does that mean? You've got to establish limitations. Now, folks, it's not wrong to get ready for the athletic event. You've got the freedom to eat a gallon of ice cream, but that's not very smart. You can drink a gallon of Coca-Cola, but that's not very smart. He is putting a limit on his fleshy man and does not permit his fleshy man to express what it wants to express. And so putting a limit on his fleshy man's expression, that is the result of a prior predetermined decision. I refuse to let myself do that. I refuse to let myself get in that position. I'm not going to go behind a closed door with that woman. I'm not going to get in the car with that man. I'm not going to let myself do so and so. I'm not going to permit myself to go from Sunday to Sunday and never read my Bible. I'm not going to let myself get cold-hearted and cease to pray, not even for one day. I'm going to see to it my heart stays hot in the midst of that, hot for God. So it's establishing a limitation. I preached probably last Sunday evening that there's some things you've got to put aside if you're going to move on with God. Folks, if you're going to go on with God in the race, you've got to set a limitation on some things. There's some things you're just not going to be willing to do because it's going to cost you. So we're going to persevere. We're going to take personal responsibility. Because he said, I'll bring it into subjection, I'm going to place a limitation based on a prior decision I make that when I do that, I'm putting myself in trouble or very close to sliding off a slippery slope, and I'm just not going there. That's the establishing the limitation. And then lastly, lest I myself should become a castaway. You must keep the goal in focus. You got to remember what's at stake here. And when a person says just one time won't hurt, you know they've lost sight of the goal. Yes, folks, one time, can I tell you something? One time is all that matters, really. Not only is it a lie to say that one time won't hurt, one time is really the only thing that matters. And the devil will wait 10 more years to get you to do it one time. Because if he ever gets you to do it one time, you don't even have to think about doing it the second time. The door is open. So the Christian life we see is a life of battles. There's no autopilot. A successful life has to set limits, and on keeping the goal in focus, you've got to keep in mind what it is you're seeking to become for the glory of the one who called you into his service. And I remind you, he's called all of us into his service. We all are ministers of the gospel. Now, what do we find from this? He conquers his fleshy nature measurably, not fully. You don't ever conquer this flesh fully till he calls you home. But he does conquer it measurably. How do you do that, Pastor? By being honest about where, as far as you can tell, your weaknesses are, and you give that laser focus. You see, people got the idea that the Christian life consists of 10 things, and let's just suppose they're really strong in 7 of them. They walk around rejoicing over the 7 strong areas. You're never going to become anything doing that. You got to give emphasis to the 3 things you're not very strong in. And so that's the focus that you put your life, and you seek to conquer that flesh measurably. In so doing, he weakens his carnal man. And as he weakens his carnal man, he strengthens his spiritual man. You don't strengthen the spiritual man and then weaken the carnal man. You got the cart before the horse. You have to weaken the carnal man and then make the spiritual man strong. Just like putting off the old man, putting on the new man. You don't put on the new man, then take off the old man. You got to take off the old man first to put on the new man. And the ultimate reward is, I won't be disqualified. I won't hear the Lord say, well, you worked your fingers to the bone and you did all the right things for all the wrong reasons and you was half-hearted at times with it. And because you was in the race, you'd forgot that there are rules and boundaries and limitations as there is in any sport. And you didn't even do much to train for the event. And what the Lord will do to every one of us that day at the judgment seat, he won't really be telling us what we think at the judgment seat. He will be showing us what we did. That will be my record that shows up there. And yes, there's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. But under God, now that we recognize that, don't we want to train better for the coming days? I don't want to embarrass Doug and Marilyn Lang when I say this. And I won't give you the whole conversation, just the gist. In talking to them a few weeks ago right out in the foyer, he said, Pastor, Marilyn and I have talked. And we want to finish well. Folks, in order to finish well, you got to get started. And you got to be serious about the run. And you got to get with it right now. Tomorrow can be later than you want it to be. Get started today. So the ultimate reward is, I've sought to do this God's way. I haven't become a castaway. What I've given to God is not rejected. It's not worthless. It's not disqualified when the Lord says, well, Wayne, you did a lot, but you did it for yourself. You wasn't really doing it for me. And it doesn't last. You get no reward for that. You have forfeited the opportunity while you played around half-hearted. You have forfeited the opportunity to win the type blessing that could have been yours on earth and would definitely be yours here if you just do it for my glory. Now that's what the text really says in those verses. Can I draw in conclusion? You might want to jot these down. Can I draw some conclusions? Number one, you never get too old to need discipline. You always need discipline. Maybe you never get too old to not need discipline. It's a way to say that. You never get too old to not need discipline. If you're here today and you're 20 years old, you've been saved 2 weeks, you need discipline. But if you're here today and you're 80 years old, you still need discipline. For without discipline, you throw everything away. Number two, don't underestimate the strength of your own fleshy passions. Don't underestimate the strength of your own fleshy passions. And what do you mean, Pastor? Well, can I tell you one of the great fleshy passions? And people generally get to thinking about sex and alcohol and that. No, I mean, that can be in that category. But I'm talking about just the passion to, I want to take my ease. I've had my day of it. I've worked hard in my life. And I just don't see no need at my age of continuing to do what I've done the way I've done it. It's time to take ease. That is the trick that the devil destroys most of we old people with. Beth and I talk about it a great deal among preachers. Nobody I know of is as bad with that as preachers. My Lord, I'm 65 years old, the guy says. I've worked hard. I've preached 3 times on Sunday for the last 25 years. I've given myself to a church. We ain't been many places, they say. We want to take some time off, and we want to think it's time for us to take what years we got left and just move off to where the grandchildren are. We're going to spend the rest of our time with the grandkids. Now, folks, if the grandkids are going to heaven, we're going to have lots of time to spend with our grandchildren in heaven, which will be a more quality time than we'll spend with them down here. Is anybody out there? I had a preacher say to me, and he was hardly 50 years old. He said, I don't want to do the rest of my life what I'm doing. He said, my wife and I would like to get a place we can get them over home and just travel the country. Folks, where's the call of God in anything like that? Where's the purpose of God in anything like that? Doug Lang said to me, Pastor, Merrill and I have talked, we want to finish well. Well, folks, I can't finish all that well sitting in a motorhome driving up and down the country showing Beth stuff she's already seen pictures of. I mean, what's the deal there? We laugh at Dennis Swanberg, who said his daddy said, man, that's a waste of money. Why didn't one go and take pictures and send them back? Folks, when I get finally to heaven, the Lord, I don't think for a moment, is going to say, Wayne, look at this over here. I say, oh, Lord, I believe I've seen that. Oh, yeah. Those are all the places you took Beth. Just look at that. If he does that, he might say something like this. Watch this. And there it went up in smoke. But what about the people Beth feeds in his name? What about the ministry doing what they did yesterday at a block party and these folks went out to do and other things you'll do to love and minister and pray for people? Folks, that's going to last. But you can't let the demon of ease cause you to sit on your blessed assurance when you need to use the measure of health you have. Now, you can't use the measure of health you don't have. But I've got it figured out that if David Miller can do what he does in his condition, would it be possible that me and you might could do a little bit more than we're doing? So you'll never get too old not to need discipline. Better be mindful of the strength of your fleshy passions. You better not overestimate your spiritual strength. You know what I see the devil do at times? I'll know enough about a person to know that they won some major victories in their life, and the devil will run a little chihuahua dog down here. I'm talking about a little old bitty thing that most anybody could defeat, and it will be that one thing that ends up getting in the doorway. And I think sometimes because we get to the place, man, I'm 60 years old now. I've got a track record with God, and I done been down them roads as though, and I hear off in the distance, let the man who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Folks, there's ways of getting a man to fall other than a woman, ways to get a woman to fall other than a man. Don't you overestimate your spiritual strength. If other men under a right set of circumstances and women could do what they did, why in the world does Wayne Robertson think, well, boy, that'll never happen to me? I remember a guy in the Bible said that. You know his name, too. Peter. And he was arguing with Jesus when he said it. And it's not a real good thing to be arguing with Jesus to start with. And then lastly, don't be so naive as to think, well, my situation's different. Hey, I hear off in the distance, there's no temptation taking any of us but such as is common to man. There's always somebody wanting to say, Pastor, I got a PQ your situation. No. We've got a faithful God who loves it when we love him enough to think about the discipline of self-denial. Can we pray? Father in heaven, if you put together a West Point, or Lord, if you were training for special forces today, or training for Navy SEALs, Lord, I don't imagine we even need to ask, could we pass the training for that? I wonder, could we pass basic training spiritually? Lord, some of us need to be delivered from what we've done in the past, meaning we've rested back on our laurels and we've overemphasized what we were blessed to do in the past, for which we're grateful, but we're underemphasizing the opportunity you might give us in the coming days if we will put our shoulder to the wheel and our heart before you. Lord, what would you do in one church if every able-bodied person would serve you to the extent their bodies will permit? Lord, rather than look at our age and what we can't do, may we think about at this stage in our life what you might be willing to let us do. And may we be as disciplined as we know your word calls for, because we have a liberty in Christ Jesus, but without discipline, we'll never know what it is and how it is we're supposed to function and ultimately give you our very best. Lord, I don't want to stand before you one day and you say, Wayne, you're about a 75%er. That's all you gave. Help me to be sensitive to you, surrendered to you. Help us all, Lord, to desire you to work in our lives afresh. And use us, oh God, in these coming days like you've never used us before. That is our sincere prayer, and we'll do our best to be available to you. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. This morning, if you've never received Jesus, did you know you can do that by confessing?